Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will continue our classes regarding the 99 perfect names of Allah. And as last week, we learned about the two perfect names of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And we learned that Ar-Rahman is the most king, the most kind, the most giving, the Lord of grace, the most beneficent. And Ar-Rahim is the most merciful, the most compassionate. Actually, we will continue today by answering a very serious, repeated question regarding the meaning of these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And the question is, a merciful one does not hesitate to help a person who is afflicted with an illness or suffering. And Allah is the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah is able to move all troubles and illnesses and hardships. So why Allah does not do that? If Allah is the most gracious, why He is not removing all the hardships from the human being? Actually, to have the answer of this question, actually, at the beginning, we must remember the human nature. The human nature is that human being, they remember Allah only in time of hardship and affliction. This is the nature of the human being. Man may move along his life, committing all types of sin. He is paying little attention to what is halal and what is not halal. As long as he is in good health and enjoying good life, he will forget about Allah the Almighty. But when affliction overtakes man, he is worried and helpless. He appeals to Allah the most gracious, unable to endure the hardship, eager to have his affliction replaced with comfort. So number one, let us agree that this is the nature of the human being. In order to have the proof, we will read now from the Holy Quran to know about this fact. From the Holy Quran, Surah number 10, verse number 10. اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَإِذَا مَثَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ضُرٍّ مَثَّهُ كذلك زين للمسرفين ما كانوا يعملون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And when harm touches man, he invokes us lying on his side, or sitting or standing. But when we have removed his harm from him, he passes on as if he had never invoked us. For harm that touched him, thus it is made for seeming to the musrifun that which they used to do.
So it is clear from the words of Allah the Almighty regarding the nature of the human being that it is the harm which motivates the human being to call on Allah the Almighty at any time, on any position. Sitting, standing on his side, he will call on Allah the Almighty. And when Allah the Almighty will make for him an outlet from that harm, immediately he will forget about Allah. We will read again from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 39, verse number 49, so that we will be always remembering this fact regarding our nature. Surah number 39, verse number 49. Bismillah ar-Rahman, 39, 49. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا مس الإنسان ضر دعانا ثم إذا خولناه نعمة منا قال إنما أوتيته على علم بل هي فتنة ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When harm touches man, he calls to us for help. Then when we have rescued him from that harm and changed it into a favor from us, he says, only because of knowledge that I possess, I obtained it. Nay, it is only a trial, but most of them know not.
So actually, sisters, when our appeal to Allah is granted and the affliction is removed, we never reflect on the lessons of the experience. Instead, we always revert to our old days, forgetting about the consequences of our actions. We will read in more details and we will have an example of what is going on in our life every day regarding this fact. Surah number 17, we will read verse number 66 and 67. Surah number 17, verse number 66 and 67. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 1766 and 67 ربكم الذي يزجي لكم الفلك في البحر لتبتغوا من فضله إنه كان بكم رحيما وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه فلما نجاكم إلى البر أعرضتم وكان الإنسان كفورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Your Lord is He who drives the ship for you through the sea in order that ye may seek of His bounty. Truly He is ever most merciful toward you. And when harm touches you upon the sea, those that call upon vanish from you except Him, Allah alone. But when He brings you to safe to land, you turn away from Him, and man is ever ungrateful.
Actually, sisters, we must always remember this fact which Allah is mentioning in Surah number 67, because this is one of the rules of life regarding man's nature. Man is ever ungrateful to Allah and to everyone, except the righteous. We will know more and more about this fact so that we can answer our question with confidence. We will read from Surah number 10, verse number 22 and 23. Surah number 10, verse number 22 and 23. Real example of what is going on in our life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي يسيركم في البر والبحر حتى إذا كنتم في الفلك وجرين بهم بريح طيبة وفرحوا بها جاءتها ريح عاصف وجاءهم الموج من كل مكان وظنوا أنهم أحيط بهم دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين لئن أنجيتنا من هذه لنكونن من الشاكرين فلما أنجاهم إذا هم يبغون في الأرض بغير الحق يا أيها الناس إنما بغيكم على أنفسكم متاع الحياة الدنيا ثم إلينا مرجعكم فننبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He it is who enables you to travel through land and sea till when you are in the ships and they sail with them with the favorable wind and they are glad therein. Then comes a stormy wind, and the waves come to them from all sides, and they think that they are encircled therein. Then they invoke Allah, making their faith pure for Him alone, saying, if you, Allah, deliver us from this, we shall truly be of the grateful. But when He delivers them, behold, they rebel, disobey Allah and the earth wrongfully. O mankind, your rebellion and disobedience to Allah is only against your own selves. A brief enjoyment of this worldly life, then in the end unto us is your return, and we shall inform you of what you used to do.
Okay, so actually, sisters, in every hardship and distress or disaster or problem, it is the same fact. Man is enjoying the relaxing life, feeling happy and arrogant, trying to live the moment to the fullest, forgetting about the reality of the worldly life. That is to say, the worldly life is a test, forgetting completely, forgetting his duties towards his Lord regarding obeying his command. In this verse of the Quran, it is the scene of a people whom they are sailing along in a good weather. They feel happy, but then a stormy wind will come upon them. This means this is equal to a disaster or a hardship. So they realize that they are encompassed by this. They may die soon. Immediately they appear to Allah. Immediately they remember their powerful Lord, the controller of the wind, the controller of the sea, the controller of all the creature, the only one who can save them. And actually this is the nature of the man, always remembering Allah at the time of need, at the time of loss, at the time of weakness. He will say to Allah, O Allah, we are calling on you to save us. We shall certainly be most grateful. If you save us from that hardship, we will be most grateful. But the question is, did man always fulfill his promise to Allah after being saved from hardships? No, never. Okay, when Allah saved them, they transgressed in the land, offending against all right. What is the meaning of this, sister? What is the conclusion? The conclusion is that Allah is the most gracious. Okay, Allah is the most gracious, and Allah knows the nature of man regarding being close to Allah, obedient to Him, mostly during the hardship. So He is exposing us to these trials, hardships and problems for the sake of the following goals. Number one, to remember the nature of the worldly life. We must be exposed to hardships so that I can realize that this worldly life is a test. If my life is always in ease and comfort and good time, I will forget about the nature of the worldly life. This is number one. Number two, I will never deceive myself by enjoying only the worldly life enjoyments, because these worldly life enjoyments are transient, and one day the nature of the worldly life will be clear to me. I will be in hardship. So I am not supposed to deceive myself by the worldly life enjoyment, which can last for a second and can end in a second. Number three, Allah is exposing us to hardship so that we can keep our bond with our Lord all the time. So long, I believe that at any moment I can face a hardship, at any moment. Now I am, alhamdulillah, in a good health, in good shape, everything is all right. But in one second I can feel that I can't see with my right eye. And I can't also see with my left eye. What happened? I am blind in a second? No, it can't be. It can be. Everything can be. So this means that hardship can happen at any second. Who is the one who can remove this hardship? Only one. The one. Allah. So I must keep my relation with Him and my bond with Him in the best shape all the time, so long I don't have a guarantee regarding the time of the hardships, trials, and so and so. Accordingly, this is actually the mercy of Allah, the most gracious, that He is exposing us to the hardships. It is out of His mercy, it is out of His grace, it is out of His being the Lord of the grace, that He is exposing us to this hardship for our sake, What I mention now is all for our sake. What is the meaning of keeping my bond with Allah in the best shape all the time? What is the meaning of this in practice in the worldly life? I will be all the time obeying His commands. I will be all the time having the good manners which He commanded me with everyone, with my parents, with my husband, with my kids. I will be fulfilling all my trusts in the worldly life. I will be sincere regarding my time. I will not waste half a day on the television. I will not waste half a day in Galleria. I will not waste all the summer on the beach, okay, erasing all my good deeds. I will not do these actions at all. Why? Because I am aware that I must keep the bond with the Lord of Grace all the time in the best shape. Mona, be aware. Be aware. This is very important fact, sisters, in our life. And actually, this is the best motivation for obedience. The best motivation for obedience is that I am obeying Allah all the time for the sake of taking care of me all the time. I am not foolish to obey Allah all the time. No, I am the most intelligent. I am the most intelligent regarding this worldly life, and I am the most intelligent regarding the other life. Because keeping my bond with Allah in the best shape, this is giving me the reassurance, giving me the peace, giving me the tranquility that inshallah He will take care of me all the time. Okay, this is number one. Number two, when I am obeying Allah the Almighty all the time, Allah will shower me with His mercy. And sister, this is very important fact which every one of us must remind herself with. We are all the time looking for mental peace, looking for tranquility, looking for reassurance, okay? And we cannot have it in this worldly life. We have cars, we have homes, we have kids, we have husbands, bond with Allah the Almighty all the time, actually. It's showering me with the feeling that Allah is taking care of me. And in reality, if I am in the best shape and in the best relation with Allah, Allah, inshallah, Allah promised in the Holy Quran to take care of the righteous believers. So I am giving myself the reassurance, the tranquility, the mental peace, and I am full all my trust to Allah the Almighty. This is in the worldly life. This is the best gift, the best blessing in the worldly life. Okay? To be a righteous believer, And at the same time to have the mercy and the reassurance and the mental peace. All praise to Allah. Plus paradise. Alhamdulillah. What is more better than this in the worldly life? So when Allah the Almighty is exposing us to hardships and trials, it is for our sake. It is for our benefit. It is for our better worldly life, and it is for our paradise. So exposure to the hardship and trials equals that Allah is the Lord of grace. Why? Because we understand, we realize, okay, the wisdom behind our exposure to trials and to hardships. Accordingly, so long we are the true believers in Allah, we will not be upset when Allah the Almighty will test us with hardships and trials. Because I will remind myself, Mona, Mona, maybe you were far away from Allah. Mona, Mona, maybe you are over busy with the worldly life. Allah the Almighty is calling you again with this hardship to call on Him, to become close to Him, to try to follow His rules, to remember about your duties, to forget about this deceiving life. Maybe I am about to die, and Allah the Almighty wants me to die while I am an obeying servant, not a disobeying one. So before this, He tested me with illness. During that illness, I became very close to Him. All praise to Allah. Then I died suddenly. So I died while I am very close to Him. I am dead while I have the best relation with him. This is actually one of the greatest blessings in the worldly life. But unfortunately, sisters, because we never try to understand the rules of the Quran with depth, we are always shallow with the Holy Quran, so we never realize the mercy and the grace of Allah regarding hardships and trials. And if every human being realizes the wisdom behind the trials and the hardships, he will accept them with mental peace, and he will accept them with the hope and with the reassurance that Allah the Almighty, inshallah, will take care of me, and Allah will give me a lot of blessing from this hardship. Allah is with me in the hardship. I am not alone. I am powerless. The powerful, the Lord of grace is with me in the hardship. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Everything will be alright, inshallah. Because I am not doing anything. I don't have power. The one who is testing me is the one who will take care of everything. And all praise to Allah, I am in a good relation with him. And this is the nature of the worldly life, hardships and trials. So, no problem. I am accepting. The minute you accept the hardship or the trial, the minute Allah will shower you with his mercy, immediately, then you will feel totally different. You will not feel the burden of the hardship and trial. Allah will take off that burden from you. Allah will deviate you to something else. You will try to find a solution. You will be busy with how to solve the problem. But the psychological burden will not be in your spirit anymore. Why? Because all praise to Allah. You were close to him because you know the nature of the worldly life. Because you love him, because he is the Lord of the grace. Allah the Almighty will not have anything from punishing us or showering us with his blessings. Allah will not take anything. Allah is not in need of anyone. Allah is the King. And this is the name of Allah which we will learn today in full details, so that you will realize that hardships and trials are for the sake of the believer. They are from the Lord of the grace to remind them about the Lord and to motivate them to follow the right path. This is the answer of the question. And inshallah, today we will learn about perfect name of Allah, the King. But actually, before learning about the King, I will give you a sincere advice. It is wise to turn to Allah the Most Gracious willingly, which you are willingly, while you are healthy and wealthy, so that you can have his love and pleasure before it is too late. Again and again, sisters, while you are in a good shape, while alhamdulillah everything is alright, you are not under severe pressure, it is more easy for your spirit to be in balance. So I can pray more, I can recite Quran more. Why? Because I am relaxed. I am relaxed. My spirit is in a good shape. I am balanced. But actually, when we are in hardship or trials, we will be having a lot of burden. When I have burden on my spirit, still I am a true believer, still I love Allah, still I have my bond with him, but still I am not in my best shape. Okay, my mood is not in the best shape. My spirit is not relaxed. I am under pressure and I am under tension and I am worried. I am close to Allah, I have less worry than the rest of the human being, but still I am a human being. So, to worship Allah more from the depths of your spirit will be because of the distress, not because you love him or you believe in him or you want his pleasure. It is for the sake of the hardship, not for the sake of Allah. But if you want to worship Allah for the sake of Allah, worship Allah and become close to Allah and obey Allah while you are in your best shape. Because at that time, you have the bond for his sake, not for the sake of the hardship and trial. And again, sister, this is the proof of your belief in the oneness of Allah. This is the proof of your reality. This is the proof you deserve paradise or not. Because Allah will have in the paradise these kind of spirits, which they worship him for his sake. Not those whom they worship him only for the sake of the hardships and trial, and after removing these hardships and trial, they forget about Allah the Almighty. This is the answer of the question. And today, inshallah, we will learn about the perfect name of Allah the King. And to learn about the King, what is the meaning? Actually, in Arabic, it is Al-Malik. Okay, Al-Malik. Because the names of Allah, now we learn Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you want to know how you can memorize the names of Allah and why I started with Allah, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, because they are mentioned with this order in one verse of the Quran. I will give it to you now so that you can know why when we learn about the names of Allah, we have this order: Allahu al-Malik, Allahu ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-Malik al-Quddus, al-Salam, al-Mu'min, al-Muhaymin. These all are in the Quran. I will show it to you now so that you have the reference for how the names of Allah are in order, how we are learning them. We will read now from Surah number 59, verse number 23 and 24, where these names of Allah are mentioned. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The sister read 21 also, because it is a very effective verse of the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Had we set down this Quran on a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rent asunder by the fear of Allah. Such are the parables with Such are the parables which we put forward to mankind, that they may reflect. He is Allah beside whom, la ilaha illa huwa, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the all-knower of the unseen and the seen. He is the most gracious, the most merciful. He is Allah beside whom, la ilaha illa huwa, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the King, the Holy, the one free from all defects, the giver of security, the watcher over His creatures. The Almighty, the Compeller, the Supreme, glory be to Allah, high is He, above all that they associate as partners with Him.
So actually, sister, these are two verses of the Quran where some names or many names of Allah the Almighty are mentioned. And actually, it is mentioned at the beginning, verse number 21, Allah is clarifying that if He had sent down this Quran in a mountain, the mountain surely have been humbled itself to Allah the Almighty. But did the human being are humbling themselves to the Holy Quran? Everyone can answer. This is up to our relation with the Holy Quran. The more you live the Quran with your heart, not with your tongue, with your heart, the more your heart will be affected with the Quran immediately, sisters. By time when you will recite the Quran with your heart, you will feel a very strong power in your heart, or a very strong bond in your heart regarding the Quran. You will feel different. If you are giving the class talking about anything, then you will hear recitation of the Quran, you will feel something in your heart regarding these words of Allah the Almighty. This is, sisters, which we Muslims must have how we have our relation with the Quran. The Quran must be between our hearts and Allah the Almighty. Not on our tongue, not again and again, and I will always mention this, and I remind the Muslims with this, not only with the tajweed, with the music of the Quran. Quran is not a book of music. Quran is actually the way of life. Quran is the book of the rules. Quran is the book of the mercy, of the cure. So I must feel it with my heart. Okay, in verse number 22 and 23, Allah the Almighty is mentioning His names, and actually we are following that order. We learned about the name Allah, then Ar-Rahman, then Ar-Rahim. Today, inshallah, in verse 23, we will start with Al-Malik. Okay, Al-Malik in English means the king, the ruler. Okay, so that you will know what is the meaning of Al-Malik. Al-Malik is the king and the ruler, the one with the complete dominion, the one whose dominion is clear from imperfection. Actually, in order to know what is the meaning of Al-Malik, the king, the ruler, okay, the Al-Malik is the king, is the ruler. What the ruler has? The ruler has two things: supreme authority and power over everything. So Allah has power over everything, and Allah has the supreme authority. Accordingly, Allah is the king and Allah is the ruler of this world. Okay, now if we look to the board, okay, I want you always to know the Arabic root of the name. This is the Arabic root of the name Malika. Okay, Malika, it means from Malik, because Allah's name is the Al-Malik. Al-Malik. Okay, this is, so what is the root? The root is the M and the L and the K in Arabic. This is Malik. Malika. Okay? Or Malaka. No, it is Malika. Okay, what is the meaning of the root in Arabic? What it is mean in English? To have kingship, to possess, to own, to exercise authority, to have power over everything, to command, to control, to have dominion over everything. This is the meaning of the name of Allah, Al-Malik, the King. Okay, so let us now learn how we can feel this name in our worldly life, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is the king, so Allah is the controller of all the affairs. Why? Because He has the authority and the power. And Allah has the command on everything, because He has the authority and the power. So Allah is equal to authority and the power. Accordingly, all the human beings are Allah's servants or Allah's slaves. Why? Because Allah is the king, the only king, who has all the power and all the authority. And again, sister, it is very beneficial for every spirit to realize this fact. All the power, only to Allah. All the authority, only to Allah. All the command, only to Allah. All the control, only to Allah. Because Allah is the king of the heavens and the earth. Allah is the ruler of everything and of all the affairs. This is very important for my spirit. Why? Because this means that none has any power on me. None has any authority. None can control my life of the human being. The kings of life cannot control anything of the life of any human being except by the command of the only king, Allah the Almighty. And actually, sisters, on the day of judgment, Allah the Almighty will roll up the skies in His right hand, and He will say, "I am the king. Where are the kings of the earth?" No one will speak. All the kings of the earth will be humbled in front of Allah on the day of judgment. There are no kings. There are no rulers. Only the only king is Allah. The only ruler is Allah. The only power is Allah. The only authority is Allah. And all praise to Allah, that all of this power and authority are not for any human being, because human beings are having good and bad inside them. Every one of us is having shaitan or Satan inside his body, running with the blood. This fact which we must believe in without trying to have its clear explanation. Okay? I can be an excellent human being, okay, with the best manners over the earth, so long I am obeying Allah. And I am Mona the same, can be the worst human being, okay, when I forget about the rules of Allah, when I decide to be selfish, when I decide to follow the corruption, when I decide to be arrogant and to transgress every human being. So you will tell me, we can't believe, Sister Mona, you can be this, having this manner. I tell you, no, believe it. In every human being, there is a shaitan running with him in his blood. But with the guidance of Allah the Almighty, Allah guided my spirit to the right path. If Allah does not guide my spirit to the right path, I can be a live shaitan. Okay, sister, and because of this fact, Allah the Almighty, the Lord of the grace, does not give any power or authority to any human being in reality. Because a good human being in 1 second can turn to the worst human being. Then what will be the situation in life? We must believe in this fact, and we must try to reflect so that we can realize that Allah is the Lord of the grace. He kept all the power for himself and the authority for himself, because he is Allah, the Lord of everything good in this worldly life. And we are human beings having bad and good in every spirit. Even Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had a shaitan. But Allah guided his shaitan. The only one whom Allah guided his shaitan is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The rest of the human beings are human beings. The rest of the prophets are human beings. They did mistakes, they did sins, but they ask Allah for the forgiveness. They are still human beings, good and bad. Today we will learn about Allah, the King, the Ruler, the one who is controlling all the matters in our life. Again and again, sisters, it is very important for every one of us to realize that I cannot make changes, the changes which I am looking for. What is the and I cannot live the life which I am looking for except by the command of the King, the Ruler, Allah the Almighty. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that when I was 25 years old living in Egypt, all my dreams were regarding being a good pediatrician, living in Egypt, close to my parents, close to my family. Okay, this was my dream and this was my expectations. Okay, but the King, the Ruler, he had another plan for me. Okay, his plan is to leave Egypt, to live in Gulf area, to live in America, you know, to have, not to practice medicine, a lot of different plans for me. Okay, this is the King, the Ruler, Allah, the one who has the control and the command. Okay, for me, when I was still in Egypt, my husband decided to come to America. Okay, when I was still 25 years old. But I refused, because at that time I believed that staying in Egypt is more better. And my father insisted that I will not move to America. Okay, this was when I was 25 years old. And we tried our best to cancel, you know, the plan of my husband. Okay, but, and it happened. He had a very good offer and we canceled it for him. Okay, and he was very upset for this. And my husband told me, now I feel very relaxed that inshallah you will live all your life in Egypt and he will never go to America. Then my father saw it. Okay, then life goes on. And we move to the Gulf area. And my husband forget about America. And I forget completely about America. And then the King, the Ruler, the Controller, the one who has the command, sent us to America. After coming to America, at the beginning, my husband decided to leave America. He said, now it is not the time to be in America. I was planning to come early. Now I want to leave. At that point, I told him, no, I want to stay in America. Okay, this is the best place. I was not aware of that. You see, sister, how we are not controlling anything. My husband tried his best to leave. But we never left. And we are living here in America. So, yes, this is life. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that I am not controlling my life, yes. He is not controlling his life, yes. I studied day and night to practice medicine, but the King, the Ruler, decided that I will not practice medicine. But a question, there is a question here. Oh Allah, I will be very upset that I am not practicing medicine after all these years of studying. No, I am very thankful to Allah now that I am not practicing. I was not practicing the medicine for the last 15 years. But this was not the situation when I was 25 years old. Yes, because this is the worldly life. The worldly life is controlled by the king, by the ruler, by the one who can control all the affairs, because I am his slave, I am his servant. Okay? When you believe in this fact, you will never be upset for any event in your life. Why? Because I am not choosing. I don't have the right to choose to live in Egypt or to live in America, to practice medicine, not to practice, to have kids, not to have kids, to marry, not to marry. I don't have any choice in the worldly life. The king, the ruler, the one who has the authority and the power is the one who plans for us everything. So what about me? What about me? I have actually the acceptance. How I can accept? I can accept when I believe that Allah is the king, the ruler, the power, the authority. When I believe in this, I have no choice except to accept all the decree of Allah and all the events in my life, keeping my bond in the best shape with the king. So long my bond is in the best shape with the king, with the power, with the authority, he will shower me with the feeling that I am taking care of you. That's it. This is the reality of the worldly life. For anyone who is looking for mental peace, for acceptance, for good health, for balance of his spirit, this is the only solution. Any other facts, any other theories, any other points of view are wrong. Okay, let us learn these facts from the Holy Quran, so that when I learn it from the words of the king, the Holy Quran, I accept it, I follow it. Oh Allah, I am accepting all your decree because you are the king, because you are the power, because you are the authority, because you are the Lord, I am accepting. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Okay, when you accept, sister, this means that you are happy. Acceptance equals happiness in reality. Because the second you accept, the second he will shower you with his mercy. You are in a test. You will accept or not accept. Whether you accept or not, whatever Allah, whatever the king wants to happen, it will happen. And you have the choice to accept or not to accept. It's up to you. If you accept, because you are a believer, that he is the king and he is the ruler, okay, when you accept, he will shower you with his mercy. You don't accept, okay, no problem. Reject. Reject to the end. You are the true loser. You will lose your time, you will lose your health, you will lose your spirit, you will lose your authority, you will lose your health, you will lose your relation with Allah. You will not be able to fulfill any of your responsibilities in the worldly life. You are a true loser. If you lose your time, which is equal to your life, this means that you lost everything. Everything. The most precious, sister, is the time factor. Because the time factor for me is the time where I can do good deeds, okay? When, the more I do good deeds, the more I am in a better shape psychologically. When you tell me, sister Mon, I have a lot of troubles in your life, or disaster, or illness, or whatever, I tell you, yes, I agree with you. This is the nature of the worldly life. But keep in mind, I am doing good deeds. These good deeds are motivating me, are giving me a lot of happiness, that Allah loves me. He is helping me during these disasters and trials by doing more good deeds. This means that, inshallah, I will be in the paradise. Inshallah, the more good deeds I am doing, the more He is pleased with me. He will shower me with more mercy. This is a hope. And inshallah, all these disasters will end. What I went in this, during this conversation, I went my time. My time. I didn't lose days and days and days crying. Very upset. Very sad. Why this is happening to me? What is the end? Where is the end? None of your business. None of your business. Why none of your business? When none of your business. How it will end, none of your business. This is the business of the king, the lord, the power, the authority. Your business is to accept or not. This is your duty towards yourself, not towards Allah. Allah will never be upset if all the human beings are atheist. And Allah clarified this, Prophet Muhammad clarified this in his hadith. If all the human beings are disbeliever, no problem. This is their problem, not Allah's problem. They will be in the hellfire. No problem, very simple. If they are all believers, still it is not a favor for Allah. It is for themselves. They will be in the paradise. Plus, if you are a true believer, if you are obeying Allah, if you have the correct bond with Him, He is showering you with His mercy. Your worldly life is full of reassurance and mental peace, sister. The more you have the right bond with Allah, Allah will take the burden of the troubles from your shoulders. You will not feel it. You will tell me, you cannot walk with your legs, sister Mona. I tell you, but I cannot feel. Do you notice that I am not walking in a good way? You tell me, yes, you are walking in a very bad way. I tell you, but this is okay. What is going on? Sister Mona, for example, your daughter failed in the exam. I tell you, this is from Allah. What can we do? We tried our best. You tell me, but you take it very easy. Why? Why you are not crying? Why you are very upset? Why you are not fighting with your daughter? I tell you, sister, why I will fight? Why? We tried our best. This is what Allah planned for. We cannot interfere. Allah is the king. Allah is the power. Allah is the authority. What can I do? I am accepting, alhamdulillah. I will not waste the whole summer fighting with my daughter or fighting with any human being at all. I will never fight. I am not fighting because they are not the one behind what I am living. It is the king's plan. It is the king's fate for me or decree for me, and I am accepting it. All praise to Allah. So long I am in this relation with Him, I don't have any problem in the worldly life. Inshallah, one day, this is Allah's mercy. How you know that you are showered by Allah's mercy? With the degree of the hope in your spirit in the middle of the hardship. You are in the middle of the hardship, but you are full of hope. How come you are not full of sadness, worry, depression? Because you are, all praise to Allah, accepting the decree. How I can accept the decree of Allah? I am explaining this to you, sisters, in full details, because I have, over the last 2 months, my classes in English are different than in Arabic. My classes in Arabic are related to the acceptance of Allah's decree. Over the last 6 weeks, so I already gave 6 classes related to acceptance. And this is the summary. The summary is, so long you believe that Allah is the king, this is up to you. If you don't believe that Allah is the king, Allah is the ruler, Allah is the power, the only power, and the Allah is the only authority, you are not a true believer. Because believing in the 99 perfect names of Allah is part of the belief in Allah. So I must believe that He is the king, and He is the authority, and I am a slave, and He is the one controlling and planning everything. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. And life is a worldly test. No problem. No problem for the worldly test. Okay, now I will give you some verses of the Quran which inshallah will help you a lot to reach to the acceptance of the events of the worldly life, which are from the king, from the ruler, Allah the Almighty. We will start by reading from Surah number 30, verse number 4. 1-4, so that you know the meaning will be clear. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibat ar-Rum fi adna al-ard wa hum min ba'd ghalabihim fayaghlibun fi rid'i sinin. Lillahi al-amru min qabl wa min ba'd wa yawma idhin yafrahu al-mu'minun.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, Aleph, Lam, Mim. These letters are one of the miracles of the Quran, and now that Allah knows their meanings. The Romans had been defeated. Am I reading that right?
Okay. In the nearest land.
In the nearest land, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Palestine, and they, after their defeat, will be victorious. Within 3 to 9 years, the decision of the matter before and after these events is only with Allah.
That's it. That's it. So actually, sisters, what we are looking for from these verses of the Quran is the decision of the matter before and after is only with Allah. That's it. Before and after is only with Allah. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that all the matters, all the situations are up to the king, up to the power, up to the authority. Okay? In anywhere in the universe, everything is determined by the king, the ruler, okay, Allah, the Almighty. Okay, so all the time remind yourself with this fact. All the decision or all the decision of the matter before and after is only with Allah. The decision is not with my husband. The decision is not with my kids. The decision is not with my boss. The decision is with Allah, the Almighty. Human beings are reasons on the earth, but they don't have any power. Part of the worldly test. Okay? So I must believe in this. We will read now two other verses of the Quran from Surah number 33 related to the same meaning. Okay, we will read verse number 30, Surah number 33, verse number 37. 33, number 37, in the last line, Allah is mentioning وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا, and Allah's command must be fulfilled. Okay? Actually, Allah the King has a will which must be fulfilled. It can be overturned. Okay? It just comes about and nothing can stop it. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that all the matters are up to the command of the king, the ruler. Okay, I must believe in this. Whatever Allah commanded, it will come to reality. Whether I like it, I don't like it, I choose it, I don't choose it, I don't accept it, this is out of the equation. Okay, accordingly, if I am a logic human being, what I am supposed to do? Acceptance. Okay? Now we will move to the same surah and we will move to verse number 38. We will read verse number 38 because there is another rule related to acceptance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ma kana ala al-Nabi min harajin fi ma faradallahu lah. سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا.
38. Okay. There is no blame on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that which Allah has made legal for him. That has been Allah's way with those who have passed away. That has been Allah's way with those who have passed away of the prophets of old, and the command of Allah is the degree determined.
Yes, this is the rule of the acceptance of the rules of the king. The command of Allah is a decree determined. Okay, what is the meaning, sister, of the command of Allah is a decree determined? This means that Allah's will is destiny absolute. It will always be done unaffected by anything or anyone. It runs to the goal which Allah sets out because Allah is the king, Allah is the ruler. Okay, we will read again about this fact, the fact related to acceptance of all the matters related to the king, the ruler, the power, the authority. We will read more from Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, verse number 21, so that this fact will be clear to our spirit, okay, related to the Quranic rule, Allah's command is decree determined. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسورة نمبر 12 فيرس نمبر 21 والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. And Allah has full power and control over his affairs, but most of men know not. This is a very important fact, sister, for you to have the acceptance. Okay? This is the clarification of the meaning of the king, the ruler, the power, the authority. Allah has full power and control over his affairs. All the affairs are only up to the power of Allah, but most of men know not. This is the problem of the human being. If they know, if they believe, if they accept, everything will be all right in their lives. We will keep on reading from these verses of the Quran. We will read a very important verse of the Quran related to that fact in Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 68, so that inshallah you will be always remembering the name of Allah, Al-Malik, the King, the ruler, and you will be always remembering immediately acceptance. Okay? Surah number 28, verse number 68. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 28:68. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa rabbuka yakhluqu ma yasha'u wa yakhtaru ma kana lahumul khiyara. سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And your Lord creates whatsoever He wills and He chooses. No choice have they in any matter. Glorified is Allah and exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him.
Okay. So now, sister, Allah the Almighty is clarifying to us a very important fact. No choice for the human being. You don't have any choice. Why? Because you are a servant. Because you are a slave. Everything is only up to Allah. Because He is the king. Because He is the ruler. Because He is the power. Because He is the authority. Okay? Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is a fact related to all the human beings. Whether they are very rich, very poor, the king, anyone. This is the fact. Okay? Allah is the one who chooses whatever and whomever He pleases for the fulfillment of the functions, actions, and the duties He determines. No one can suggest to Him a course of action to follow. No one can propose to Him any statement or move. Anything large or small is ruled only by the King Allah. Oh Allah, what about me? I want to choose? No. You don't have the right to choose. You are in a test. You are in the test. If you are in the test, you must know that you are a servant of the king, and the king is the one who has the authority and the power. And you are here, okay, to accept or not to accept. This is the test of the worldly life. You will accept the rules and the plans and the decisions of the king, or you don't like to accept it. It is up to you. This is the freedom of choice which Allah the Almighty gave to all human beings. And the human beings refused to give it to each other. Allah, the king, the ruler, gave to everyone the freedom of choice. You want to be a believer, disbeliever, good one, the righteous one, the worst one, no problem. This is how Allah is the Lord of grace, the most gracious, the most merciful. But regarding the human being, when I am the boss, I will never give you any freedom of choice at all. You see, when you try to reflect, you always realize that Allah is the Lord of the grace. Now we are learning that Allah is the King. And let us now recite from Surah number 5. Verse number 118, to realize that Allah is the one who has the decision and Allah has the right to choose for us whatever He likes, the king, the ruler. Surah number 5, verse number 118. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 5:118 إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you punish them, they are your slaves, and if you forgive them, verily only you are the Almighty, the All-Wise.
So, you know, sisters, believing that Allah is the King and the Ruler, so we are His slaves. So, Allah is the one who controls the fate of His people. Okay, because we are His servants. If He wants to punish us, He will punish us. If He wants to forgive us, He will forgive us. When I realize these facts from His words, this is what He is clarifying about Himself in His book. I am supposed to obey Him and to have the best bond with Him and to be the best servant to Him, or I am supposed to say, no, I don't care, I will not obey, I can control my life. So when you realize the facts, the real facts of the Holy Quran, and you listen to a sister saying, I am controlling my life, what will be your response? What will be your response?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question?
If one sister will say, I am controlling my life, she believes that she's controlling her life.
She's in denial.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, we can plan, but we then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray to make it easier, whatever we plan.
So we are not supposed to say, I am controlling.
No, I'm not controlling, yeah.
Not
but
all. Just, that's true, that we cannot control things beyond our control. Okay. Allah, we plan, but
denial.
Okay. Yeah, she's not. She's denying what she sees every day.
Alhamdulillah, she is ignorant, actually. I consider this ignorance. Because when you believe in the Quran, you know that you are not controlling. If you say, I am controlling, you are ignorant. You don't know the Quran, you don't know life, you don't know the facts. And actually, I don't trust these kind of people. They are very dangerous. She doesn't know the basic facts of life. How I can trust someone like this? I am controlling. You are dreaming. You are in nowhere. Okay, we will read more about the facts related to the king. We will read from Surah number 7, verse number 54. I am repeating and giving many verses of the Quran, sisters, because actually it is the mercy of Allah, the king, the ruler, the power, the authority to teach us these facts from the Holy Quran. All praise to Allah. Surah number 7, verse number 54. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 54. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين. Actually, sisters, Daniel, you can read it. What we are, the rule. You can read the whole thing.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and earth in 6 days. And He then rose over Istawa, the throne, really in a manner that suits His majesty. He brings the night as a cover over the day, seeking it rapidly. And He created the sun, the moon, the stars, subjected to His command. Surely, His is the creation and commandment. Blessed is Allah, the Lord of the Alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists.
Okay, so actually, sisters, the rule in this verse of the Quran is that Allah is clarifying that to Him is the creation. This we will learn it when we will learn the name of Allah, the Creator, but the command is to Allah because Allah is the King. Now, we will have a question. Now, we believe that everything is up to Allah, the King, the Ruler, the power, and the authority. But the question is how Allah's will take place. Okay, how the command of Allah takes place in the worldly life. Okay, to know about how the command of Allah takes place in our worldly life, we will read from Surah 54, verse number 50, so that it will be more clear in the depths of your spirit that Allah is the King, Allah is the ruler, Allah is the power, Allah is the authority. Surah number 54, verse number 50. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 54-50 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمرنا إلا واحدة كلمح بالبصر
الرحيم. And our commandment is but one, is the twinkling of an eye.
So actually, sister, he was just discussing that Allah is the one, up to him all the affairs in our life, my provision, my success, my marriage, my kids, my illness, everything is up to Allah the Almighty. So how Allah gives the command for these events to happen to me, to everyone, to all his creatures on the earth? This is the answer. It takes just a signal or one word, and everything great or tiny is done in no time, not even the twinkling of an eye. Try to feel how long it takes for your eye to twinkle. Less than a second, okay? Allah the Almighty is clarifying that all his commands, okay, are taking place in no time, not even the twinkling of an eye. The command is given just once, and the entire universe comes into existence, just one command, and it will go away as the King wishes. In everything, the command is given once only, bringing anyone into life, taking it here or there. Allah's command is that Mona will die, for example, in Mexico. And there is alarm warning against traveling to Mexico. So, logically, I will never be in Mexico. Logically. But it will happen that my daughter will have a trip with the school to Mexico. And I don't want her to go alone. And the trip is only for 48 hours. Just 48 hours. So, I plan to go. 48 hours. Very simple. And I told you, sister, inshallah, we will meet after 2 days and we'll have the class and everything is alright. Salamu alaikum, sister. Okay. I just arrived to Mexico and unfortunately, I ate food in a very small place. Maybe this food was contaminated. After 2 hours, I was dead. That's it. Then my husband in Houston, he said, how come Mona did this mistake? There was a warning against Mexico. What is the importance of Yusuf's trip? Why she didn't cancel the trip? We cannot cancel the trips. I must die in Mexico. I must go to Mexico. Because this is what the King planned for me. And no one can change the plan of the King. You see, sister?
There are some people in the hospital who are sick,
yes.
You know, and sometimes the doctor will say, you will die today or something like that. But it's not Allah's decree for them to die,
yes,
in the hospital. Maybe they will go home and die at home.
Yes.
Yes,
and maybe they will not die at that time. Yeah. And maybe the doctor will die before them. You know, so, the doctor will have a car accident that day, and the patient will die after a week. So the doctor died before the patient. This is happening a lot in life, sisters. And I always mention that the stories which are written by Allah, which are our life stories, are the most effective stories because they are written by the Lord of the heavens and earth. If you want to have a story which will have a lot of influence in your spirit, it must be a story written by Allah, the Almighty. As I am mentioning about the trip to Mexico. Okay? I will arrive to Mexico to die in Mexico. That's it. And my daughter will return alone.
Okay? That's what we call you. Allah's plan that way.
Yes.
So there is nothing you can do.
Yes.
Things go, you know, very...
There is a story that one guy was in a meeting with the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw that a guy was staring at him. He was scared. I said, why this guy is staring at me? You know, he got so scared. He asked Sulaiman ﷺ to send me to India. I don't want to be in this place because this guy is scary, you know, scared me to death. So I better move from there. So, you know, it's just blink of an eye. Prophet Sulaiman ﷺ, he sent him to India. Yeah, right there he saw the guy there. And so he asked, why are you just, you know, staring at me and you just come following me? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to take your life in this place.
Oh,
and I was surprised that why you are in that, you know, place. It's supposed to be in India. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already planned. Yeah. We cannot figure it out how, you know, this guy was. So this is all example for us to think about.
We can say so many times, you know, no matter what you plan. But who knows what Allah is planning?
Yes, this is the issue. But you see, this story is a very special story. He must die in India. So he chose to escape from the man to India. Unfortunately, he doesn't know that India is the place. He will not. That man will take his spirit, but he will not take it in America. He must take it, you know, in India. So he escaped this in India, but this was waiting for him there. You know, sisters, when you try to feel these issues with depth or in the depth of your spirit, you will realize that, you know, we cannot do anything in this world in life. Why we are wasting our time away from Allah the Almighty? Why? You know, everyone must ask herself, why I am wasting my time, you know, with very minor issues in the worldly life to upset me? And to waste my time with, I will wake up in the morning, the weather is not good today. I'm very upset. It will rain. What can I do? What is the importance of this? This is none of your business. This is Allah's plan. This is the king, the ruler. You are out of this issue. Take care of yourself and of your responsibility. Maybe this rain will be the cause for your death today. And you will meet Allah while you are rejecting His decree. What is this, sister? You know, this is what we are supposed to learn from the Holy Quran. How to have the realities in life clear in our spirit and how to have it, you know, to practice the belief in Allah. Not just to learn and learn and learn and reading and Arabic and Tajweed and nonsense. And at the end of the day, you will have someone whom he is attending a lot of classes, learning a lot of knowledge, having a lot of, you know, facts, but in practice he is not related to Islam at all. This is not Islam. Islam is something different, sisters. Islam is the right belief in the oneness of Allah, the fear of Allah, the Almighty, then to live according to His rules, having all the, being very thankful to Him that He is guiding me. All the time when you tell me what is your feeling towards Allah, Alhamdulillah. You tell me you have a lot of troubles, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah from the depths of my heart. I have Allah. He guided me to Him. All praise to Allah. This is how, sisters, we have to live our life because He can take my spirit at any time, in any place. What is more precious for me more than my spirit? What is more precious? My car? My home, my clothes, what is more precious? My family, I will leave everything. My spirit is the most precious, then my time. These are the two precious issues for any true believer, actually, who has a mind to reflect. Because to tell you the truth, when I look around me and I try to observe how people are living their life deceiving themselves that they are close to Allah. Deceiving themselves. Choosing the most easy way to Allah. What is the most easy way to Allah? To attend a class about Tajweed. To attend superficial, shallow. Do you know the rules? Do you believe in the rules? Do you realize the facts? If the Quran has a rule in your life, your way of life is up to this book? No, at all. But I am attending. But I am learning. But I have a lot of knowledge. I am satisfied. I am very good Muslim. And if I mention this to any sister or some sisters or whatever, I have knowledge more than you, Sister Mona. Yes. You are more better than me. I am the least one in knowledge. because we don't know anything. But what you can say? Let us learn and end the class by learning about a very important surah from the Quran, surah number 36, verse number 82 and 83. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Verily his command when he intends a thing is only that he says to it be and it is. So glorified be he and exalted above all that they associate with him, and in whose hands is the dominion of all things, and to him you shall be returned.
Actually, sisters, again and again to remember that Allah is the king, the ruler, the power, the authority. Allah is informing us that when he wants anything to happen, any event in the life of all the human being regarding provision, success, cure, marriage, whatever, Allah will say to it, be once. And it is. Okay? And again, sister, try to reflect. Be and it is. I was calling on Allah for that event for years and years. And it is up to Allah that this event, this call or whatever I'm looking for can happen if Allah just say be. Subhanallah. Immediately you say, glorified is Allah, the exalted. Years and years and years, day and night, are calling on him. He can do it with two letters, B. In no time. This is Allah, the King. This is the reality of the King. Years for us, and for us, for Allah, B. It is up to him. He can say it. He chooses. We don't choose. We can't choose. Allah is the one who has the right to choose. He can choose to say B for all my prayers, and he can choose not to say B for all my prayers. And for me as a servant, believing that he is the king, I am not supposed to question. Why I called on you for years and years and you are not answering me? You are not supposed to say this because you believe in the names of Allah, that Allah is the king, that Allah is the ruler, that Allah is the power, Allah is the authority. We are not supposed as servants and slaves of Allah to say to him any of these words. This is again the belief. Accordingly, these verses of the Quran are Allah is saying, so glorified is he and exalted above all that they associate with him. We must glorify the king, the exalted, in whose hand is the control of the heavens and the earth, and he has the power to create and command. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during his prayers, let us revise the prayer. When you do ruku' and then you raise up, you say, سمع الله لمن حمده. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will say, glory be to Allah, the owner of the right and malakut, bright and greatness. Okay, when you say سمع الله لمن حمده, okay, تبارك الذي بيده الملك والكبرياء والعزة. Okay, and inshallah, next week we will continue with the 99 perfect names of Allah, and let us make the dua.
I have a question. Some people, you know, in our area, they name their son like Rauf, like Aziz, and it's like common practice, you know, or Rahman. But somebody told me it's not the right way to, you should name it Abdul Rauf or Abdul Rahman.
Yes.
You know, Aziz. Yes. Just naming Aziz is not correct Islamic way.
Yes. Actually, it is mentioned.
I went to a sister's conference, and a brother, the Sheikh, said that you should not name your child something as self-praising. You should not praise yourself. Only Allah should be praised. So we shouldn't give names that are self-praising.
You said Abdul Rahman.
Yes. You must say the slave. You know, yes, that you must name your kids if you want to use any of the names of Allah. The slave of Abdul Rahman, Abdul. You must do this, okay? But it is mentioned that there are some names you can use it for the human being. For example, if we learn Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, you can call your son Rahim, not Al.
Not Al.
Why? Because Al is the one. Okay, yes. So you can get Al. But Rahim, yes. Rahman, no. Rahman, no. Okay, Rahim, yes. Rahman, no. Okay, so there are some names I can give it to you. You can use it without Al. But it is better to be away from the names of Allah because they are related to Allah. It is better. But actually, I noticed that especially the Pakistani people, you know, the Arabs, they mostly not use, they don't use it. Even if we have someone called Aziz, in the Arabic people, he is always not a Muslim. You know, if someone will come now from the Arabs and he will tell me my name is Aziz, I will say to myself, mostly, he is not a Muslim. Okay, this is for the Arabs. We are always away from any name of Allah if it is not with Abd.
Yeah, like I was Al-Malik.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala ibn Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our hearts. O Allah, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah, see you next.